Maddie and Rob Palmer's 24-hour show. Going non-stop with no breaks for 24 hours straight. 107.7 Triple M.
We are being joined in the witching hour by real crime investigative journalist Adam Shan. You can hear him on our listener app. He's a part of the Triple M family, but he's in Zimbabwe as we speak this morning. Adam Shan.
G'day, Adam.
Morning, Shandy.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Oh, you sound bright. What time is it for you?
Yeah, well, it's 9 p.m. Yeah, you probably don't know what time it is.
No.
At the end of your wick.
We have no idea. We just keep forging ahead, Adam. Who thought this was going to be a good idea? But in the witching hour, mate, we want to look at you, what you've covered. We've seen you on TV. We've seen you on Foxtel with your crime series, as we said. We've got you on the listener app as well. Mate, one of the real crime stories you covered was something that happened here on the New South Wales Central Coast.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a fantastic mystery, which I've been working on for 2 years, which started at Yamana Beach in June 2020, dark and stormy day. A young lady and her mum are walking the dog on the beach. They see this jawbone, black jawbone in the sand there at Yamana, just by the caravan park, if you know that area down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, no missing people in the area, no clues. Why is the bone black? The forensic anthropologist said, listen, this person, probably a 15-year-old boy, has died within the last 10 years. Nobody is missing a 15-year-old boy in the last 10 years. So we've been working for 2 years on this case, trying to work out why the bone's black, trying to work out why it was there. And the best I can get to is that somebody perished in the Etalong Channel, if you know the Brisbane water as you go around there to Broken Bay and so forth. And the dredging, which is pretty common in that part of the world, has taken this bone around to the beach there. But the kicker is the thing's in such good condition. If anybody, you know, like if you drop a coin in the ocean within a few days, it's already been polished clean by the abrasion. Imagine if you're a bone, you know, in the ocean, it's going to get pretty abraded, but it hasn't been. So we're now trying to work out whether there's some special condition, some spooky thing in that area, which would have allowed this bone to have been preserved. Because now we're pushing back into the early 30s and even earlier to see whether this bone's possibly been preserved from an earlier tragedy. And we're running DNA tests with the help of the New South Wales Police to see if something matches. Wow. And so far, nothing.
I've got a suggestion.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Oh,
what about?
This could go anyway.
It's come off. If it's black, it might have been in the hull of a boat. Because stuff goes black in the hull of a boat. I've seen it. And then when
write that down, Adam.
Fishing trawler found it could be a body from another country.
Well, you know, and there's a thing about Yamana Beach and whole Broken Bay, which probably just makes your theory probably not so likely, is that the sand there goes round in a sort of swirling circle over 7 years, so nothing actually leaves the bay. So it gets deposited on the beach, and then every 8 or 10 years, huge storm comes through and cuts a couple of metres off the beachfront and pushes it back into the bay, swirls around till it returns to the bay. And so, good idea, good thought.
Oh, thanks,
also,
Aaron.
If it had come in, yeah, no, I'll definitely put that away, because you've got to keep an open mind to these things.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Adam, can they take DNA from a bone?
They can. This is the amazing. This is my second story about a jawbone. There was one actually earlier up at Kingscliff Beach, northern New South Wales, which has been a fragment of a bone which had been bounced around the bottom of the ocean for a long time. And they got DNA from that and worked out that it had come from this fellow who'd saved two or three people on a boat that he'd been on in 1979, but he'd perished. But they managed to identify him through this fragment of a bone, just a bit of a tooth, and that was enough. So we've got a whole lower jaw minus a few teeth. We've also got dental work that's very specific that kids have when they have a rotten tooth. They'll pull the tooth out, right? This is the first molar. And so we've searched all the dentists in the area as well to see if has anyone done this kind of work. Do you recognize this x-ray?
Right.
Nothing. It's a great mystery. I'm hoping to announce a breakthrough in the next few weeks, but don't want to speak too soon. We do have a potential candidate but I can't say too much.
All right, if you've got any information on this particular case about the jawbone on at your minor, encouraging people to call Crime Stoppers, 1-800-333-000 or your local police station. We'll be back with more with Adam Shan. You can get him on our listener app, Real Crime Stories. And Shandy, live from Zimbabwe on our Witching Hour with another crime story coming up soon.
That sounded good.
Thank you. I sound like Warwick Moss,
yeah,
do you think?
Yeah.
You really did. That's fantastic.
No sleep, no rest, no breaks for 24 hours straight. This is Paddy and Rob Palmer's 24-hour show on 107.7 Triple M.
On the Witching Hour, we've got Adam Shan, real crime investigator. He's a journalist. He's with Triple M. You can get his episodes of his real crime stories on the listener app. But he's live in Zimbabwe for us this morning. Morning, Shandy, back again.
G'day. Oh, you guys are going to go swimming next. I'd take your floaties with you because you may not be in ship-shaped condition.
Oh, that's a good
but
point.
You're doing great.
There'll be a number of lifeguards.
Thanks, mate. Hey, Ad, with your job, what's the best part of it? Like, I do love crime. I love CI on Foxtel. I like watching all the crime shows on Netflix. Me and my wife just love it. Mate, what is the best part of you from what you've done? Have you ever solved any crimes?
Well, yeah, more or less, you know. but the best thing is the discoveries, you know, and the twists and turns in cases. Like a good one, which I think is a classic Witching Hour type story, is one I did for the New South Wales Police, our State Crime Command podcast on the listener app, which was about a young man called Mazesi Kava, who was a Fijian guy who disappeared, and his family wanted to know what had happened. He was living in inner city Sydney, and anyway, a young detective who was on the case, I was working with on this, and he went back to the records and said, well, where was this bloke last seen? And he goes to the records and he says from 2006, a plainclothes copper had been going past a mausoleum, which was on the Cooks River at Marrickville there, and it had been empty for many, many years, but he saw that there was evidence of occupation. So he crawls in through this hole and finds this bloke, Moses, a Fijian bloke, living inside the mausoleum. And he's all set up in there. And the bloke said, listen, your family's looking for you. And he said, well, I don't want to go back to them. I've fallen out with them. And he said, good as gold, left him there, told the family, well, we can't tell you where he is, but he's okay. So years pass. And now the young detective's working on this one again. What's happened to Moses? So he realizes the same detective, or same constable, is still in the station and says, take me to where you found Moses last time, to the mausoleum. So they go there, and there's no signs of habitation now at all. There's trees growing over the little hole, bushes and stuff. Anyway, he squeezes his way through into the hole, into the mausoleum, and he sees there's carpet in there, and there's a gas stove, and there's other personal possessions. And he's going home and sees a generator, sees shelves worth of, you know, years of stuff there. And there's pin-ups of Hollywood stars on the wall that he's seeing with his torch there. And he shines the torch down. What does he see? He sees a skeleton with a set of headphones on.
Oh,
right?
Stop.
They go, he's going like, what? And he bumps his head on the roof when he sees this, and he scurries out to his partner. You better look at this. And they go in there and they work out it is Moses. And now they've got to work out what's happened to him. And the clue that broke the case was the fact that the last transaction that he'd made was at a Bunnings. And when they got into the mausoleum, they realized there's a box from Bunnings. It's a generator. And now they work out what had happened.
Yeah,
because carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, the fumes.
You ruined the end of my story, but yeah, you're right. I was going
to. Okay, we're onto it.
But the cops were saying, well, but why didn't he realise what the generator starts up and so forth? Why didn't he realise? And I said to the guys, look at the box. It says noiseless. One of those noiseless generators. Yeah. And so there he is. He's gone and got himself a DVD player. He's got the generator. He's put Changeling, that film with Angelina Jolie. He's gone to put that in. He's got his bong there. He's had a couple of cones.
Yeah.
Lights out Moses. That was it. There he was for 10 years.
Oh,
and people are cycling past this mausoleum and the whole thing. There he is in there. Just slowly mouldering away.
But you know what? There was a case like that. It was a cyclone coming off North Queensland, and this young lad did exactly the same. Went and bought a generator, put it in his house. That's what people don't realise. And as you said, noiseless, and they don't think about the fumes. So it has happened. That's a sort of a warning.
Tell you what, no one would look for you in a noiseless lamp.
And they wouldn't, would they? And the thing about what Moses was that he had a butane stove there, because you can burn butane in a small space because it doesn't produce carbon monoxide. So lulled into full sense of security by that success, he goes to the generator, and one DVD, probably got through the credits, and that was about all.
Holy geez, there it goes. Well, don't do that. That is a warning. Now, Shandy, thank you so much for taking time on our Witching Hour. You can get Adam Shan on our listener app, LISTNR. Mate.
Enjoy Zimbabwe.
What Rob said.
Mate, you guys are legendary. Listen, stay away from naked plains and deep water. Keep punching on.
All right, mate. Only a few hours to go on our 24-hour show, and thanks for that, mate.
We interrupt regular programming to bring you more Paddy and Rob Palmer. Sorry, no refunds.
This is Paddy and Rob Palmer's 24-hour show on 107.7 Triple M.
Pushing towards the finish line.
We are getting there slowly but surely. And it's called the Witching Hour. We're doing everything sort of spooky. And one thing that is spooky and scary is the Monte Cristo homestead. And this homestead is near Junee. And apparently it's really haunted. We've got the owner with us, Lawrence Legend. He joins us this morning.
G'day, Lawrence.
Hey, how's it going?
G'day, mate. Not too bad. Now, this Monte Cristo homestead, first of all, people can visit it. Is that right?
Yeah. No, people can visit during the day, but also we do ghost tours on a Saturday night, which tends to scare people a little bit.
How many ghosts are supposed to have been haunted this homestead?
Oh, we know of 10 resident spirits. 10 people have passed away here on the property.
Right.
So why do they go into the homestead?
Do different people see the same ghost?
Oh, yes, very regularly. So the original owners, Mr. and Mrs. Crawley, they're seen on regular appearances during day and night tours itself. But for most reports, people see them as clear as you and I looking at each other.
So apparently they're very angry. The ghosts of Monte Cristo. At
strangers
home.
Trampling through their home, Paddy. I'd be angry too.
Are very angry, though, especially when it comes to pets and animals.
Yeah, when we say angry and things, we've had a few instances with animals not liking the house, but unfortunately my mum came down one morning to find the family cat disemboweled and its eyes gouged out of its head in the kitchen. So we don't know if that was a gift or a warning.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no, come on. But it wasn't just the cat. There are other things, other incidents as well.
Oh, yes. For over the years, our family has experienced so many things. Everything from my sisters seeing full-body apparitions to having hands rest on your shoulder, turn around to find no one there. But it's really common to have your name called out during the day and there'll be no one on the property at all.
God, if Scooby-Doo was to turn up, I mean, is he going to uncover some man in a mask in the corner? It's hard to believe that this stuff is even possible. How long has this been going on?
Well, ever since my parents bought the parents in 1963, within a week, they were in town getting supplies and they were driving back up. Now, at this point, the house had been vandalised. There was no doors or windows, not even a pane of glass in any doors or windows. As they're driving up, they stopped the car and hopped out because they're watching lights beam out every door and window of the homestead. Being surprised and thinking maybe squatters had got in there, they hopped in the car to go up to the house to get rid of them because it was where they're living. And as they drove up, every light in the house turned off instantly. So there's no power to the house. There's no pane of glass to reflect their car lights off, nothing. That's when they realised the house was haunted.
I'm scared. I'm going to have to sleep with someone tonight.
Lawrence, do you still live in the house?
No, I haven't slept in the main house since I was 13. It scares the life out of me. I'm even reluctant doing ghost tours through the house because it does still give me the heebie-jeebies. But I love telling the stories about the spirits that reside there at the house and seeing other people's experiences because it makes me feel a little bit normal because growing up in that house, I've seen and heard far too many things to be a non-believer, I can tell you.
Are there any stories like as to why these spirits are there?
Oh, we do believe our main spirit is Mrs. Crawley, and it's a bit like anything. If you love something enough, you just don't want to let it go, even after death. So she couldn't take the house with her, so she just stays here with the house. So a lot of times it was just a connection, a bond. But the house is also built on a huge outlay of quartz crystal, which we do believe amplifies the ability of the spirit. So a house that wasn't so haunted seems 10 times more haunted than it should be.
So that was Mrs. Crawley. Where did the other nine ghosts come into play?
Well, Mr. Crawley passed away here on the property, and of course it was his property, so he's obviously residing, but there's everything from a maid that was pushed from the balcony, another maid that died during childbirth, a 8-year-old boy that was burnt severely and died 3 months later as a result of third-degree burns all over his body after the boss set fire to the straw mattress he was asleep on because he was malingering and didn't want to get up to work. So there's many, many stories and a lot of things that are not very savoury, but that went on back in the day as well.
Wow. And
I don't know what to make of this.
If we go there, we're going during the day. We ain't going during the night.
I'm not going.
As you'd be surprised, the amount of people who come back on day tours and they'll ask us, you know, some of the stories and that, and they said, well, my 5-year-old son just asked me who the little boy was that was sitting in the chair in the corner of the room, yet the parents saw nothing. We get it all the time.
So what about, do you get people sending photos that they've taken inside the house or outside the house and there's an apparition?
Oh, yeah, we get plenty of those. Obviously, we try and debunk anything that's sent to us because, obviously, we don't want people going around thinking that we're making stories up about our ghosts and spirits. But a lot of the time, they're actually shown to us on the day, so they haven't had a chance to modify the picture or anything like that. But we also have people having their photographs deleted from their cameras. We only had a gentleman yesterday that was going through the property, and by the end of the tour, all the photographs he took that day had been deleted off his camera.
Oh, no.
You're joking.
All right, well...
Okay.
We'll stand 100 metres back when we go.
No.
All right? So it's Monte Cristo Homestead. Can you Google it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're all over the internet. Plenty of YouTubes and articles are written about the homestead and our spirits here. So, yeah, people can Google away and find out.
What's that crystal that the place is founded on?
Yeah, quartz crystal, yes.
Quartz
it's
crystal.
A magnification to the spirit world, yes.
My goodness.
It's Monte Cristo. Just
going to go home and check my foundations.
Thank you, Lawrence, for joining us on The Witching Hour. And I don't think I'll be able to sleep for the next 3 days. Thank you for that.
Well, I'm done.
Not a problem.
Good on you, Laurie.
It's like that epic TV show, 24. You know, the one that starred me, Kiefer Sutherland. Except it's less intense and involves more whinging. Paddy and Rob Palmer's 24-hour show on 107.7 Triple M.
Well, Paddy and Rob Palmer, this is our 24-hour show. We're into the witching hour. Wow, it's so early. But
I thought I was tired at 9 p.m.
No, but we're getting there. And because we're talking things all spooky, we thought we would speak to someone from The Rock's Ghost Tours, and we've got Kate Hessenen with us. Good morning for the witching hour. Kate, hello.
Good morning.
Now, are the Rock's Ghost Tours as scary as they look?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to brag, but I have made children cry on my tours.
it's on the poster.
It's very scary.
That's not nice.
I didn't mean to. You turn on the light and you see this poor kid. You're like, oh, God. The best thing about it is how average it is. Now, I know that sounds funny, but there's a lot of ghost stories, and people get very angry when you tell them that that person wasn't there because they say, no, but they looked at me. They were in fancy dress. I thought there was like a recreation happening. They didn't look like a ghost. They looked like a person, which is always fun to hear.
Right.
Hang on. People are seeing ghosts on the tours.
Oh, sometimes on the tours, but some of my best stories come from the publicans working there and the rangers and security guards that have to walk through the rocks at that lovely witching hour, 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Which is now. Have you got, you know, because you've got the Rocks Ghost Tours, like, and people would take photos. Have you, they sent photos back of some orbs or any strange apparitions in the photos?
Oh, absolutely. We have quite a few places. Well, you'd have to come on the tours to see. Yeah. But there's quite a few places where you get orbs floating around. I've seen quite a few photographs come up where it genuinely, it's one of those things where it's like a magic eye trick. You look at it and it looks completely normal, and then it's obviously someone standing in the corner or shadows where they're not meant to be. That's always my favorite one because you don't always see shadows, but I'm like, there's nothing there that can cast a shadow.
Particularly if you're taking
a photo of an empty room, there's no furniture in it, and you see this shadow against the wall.
Oh, hang on, I'm just going to stand aside, Rob.
Now,
what's the go about the true murder that happened, like it was a few years ago?
quite a few years ago, in 1845.
Yeah.
So this murder happened between an Englishman called Thomas Warne and a Frenchman called Jean Vidal.
Oh.
They were both standover men in the Rock, so they were debt collectors, more or less. They went to the pub after work, they went to Thomas Warne's home, they got into a fight, and long story short, Vidal accidentally killed him by hitting Thomas Warne in the back of the head with a little hatchet. Killed him dead with one blow.
Did you say accidentally? With a hatchet
yeah,
to the back
of
the head.
It's one of those things going, really, mate?
Yeah.
Well, but apparently after they got into the fight, Warren laughed at him and turned to walk away. And Vidal felt that spike of anger and just lashed out. One punch kill. Well, yeah.
Oh. I work with someone with a short temper too. Ooh. Should I be careful?
Yes, don't turn your back on him.
Yeah. Oh, come
thank
on.
Thank you,
come
Kate.
Come on. Hey, Kate,
especially
so if people
now.
Want to go on the Rocks, you can go, just type in the Rocks Ghost Tours. How long would it mm-hmm. take, like, the walk?
The walk is anywhere between, well, it depends on how fast people walk,
yeah.
Hour and a half to 2 hours.
Right. And you just go through
and
all
there's
these...
a lot of stairs. You've got to wear shoes. There's stairs. The Rocks is very rocky. It holds to its name. And we go in all weathers. Rain, hail, shy? Shining. Yeah, we go when it's shining as well. And
yeah.
foggy. So take an umbrella, bring some gloves.
Do you have like a kerosene lamp?
No, I don't. Yeah. I do have a little globe that lights up and it does turn red.
When what? A ghost comes around?
No, when I click the button.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Hang on. We've been on air for a long time. So please
he's,
forgive
he's
me.
He's normally this silly.
So
anyway.
It is the Rocks Ghost Tours. Just mm-hmm. Google it. And 7 days a week?
Yes. On and off. Our most prominent days are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
We are opening up more as tourism opens up, but
yeah.
Keep your eye on the website.
All right. Well, so good to have you aboard the Witching Hour with us this
no
morning,
worries.
Katie.
Make
lovely
the
talking
spirit
to you.
Be with you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Have a good one.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.